Some recent research from Loughborough University has highlighted that many households in the UK are not looking for or not claiming welfare or disability benefits that they may be entitled to. There's a push to get more people to check it out. And Dominic Milne from RNIB's Legal Rights Service is back with us once again. Dominic, I know we're going to talk about some of the statistics here. A lot of these will be very relevant to our listeners who are blind or partially sighted.
That's right, Alan. Thanks. Yeah, the research that Loughborough did, it covered a lot of people. It was around about, I think, about 360,000 people who were blind and partially sighted. And within that bracket, they found that there were 83,000, which is a quarter, it's 24%, are not getting any disability benefit. Now, obviously, not everybody qualifies for the highest rates of disability benefit. But if you are blind or partially sighted, there's a very, very strong possibility you will qualify for some disability benefit, maybe quite a high amount. So it's a big figure, a quarter of people not getting any disability benefit.
It's quite a stark figure, Dominic. Is that because people are unaware of what's on offer? They don't think that they're entitled, or they perhaps just find it difficult with the whole process of researching an application difficult?
I think all of the above, Alan, really. Yep, there are a whole host of reasons that were identified. There's the stigma of benefit claiming. Some people are not comfortable with that. Maybe puts them off making a claim for benefit. There's a lack of knowledge of the system, which is not that surprising. It's complex and it's difficult, and it can be difficult to get information in an accessible format. It's not always easy to find the information you want and be able to access it when you do find it. It's a confusing system. Generally, it can be very confusing. Even for people who work in the profession, believe me, it can be a confusing system and the way you have to approach it. The forms are long. And also, there are language barriers for many people.
Interesting, you use, stigma in there as well. You know, people perhaps not wanting to apply because of that stigma. But, more important than ever at the moment, with the whole cost of living things, everything is going up. It's probably more crucial than ever to see what you are entitled to. Many people are, but they're missing out.
That's right. I mean, some of the other statistics that highlight that, Alan, are that the biggest bracket of people who weren't getting the disability benefit were actually people aged 16 to 44. One interesting stat was that 44% of those were from minority ethnic groups, as opposed to only 23% from white, blind and partially sighted groups. And I think also what really worth pointing out when you mention the cost of living is that 41% of blind and partially sighted people in low-income households, so households that are basically struggling already, are missing out, as opposed to only 16% from the higher-income households. So when you mention the cost of living, Alan, it is really key that, you look at these statistics, you see that there's a high level of people, a high number of people in low-income households who could and probably should be claiming the disability benefit that they're entitled to. And it's really important that we get that message out and people do investigate their possibilities and make a claim wherever possible.
Were there any particular benefits that were underclaimed, if you like, or any that people perhaps found difficult to apply for?
Well, they're all difficult to apply for, unfortunately. I mean, the three key disability benefits that we have in the UK, we've got disability living allowance, which is for children up to 16. In Scotland, they've got child disability payment, which is the equivalent. We've then got PIP, personal independence payment. Now, that's the one from 16 to pension age. And in Scotland, they also have the adult disability payment, which is their new equivalent. Now, PIP, that is a key one because that covers the bracket that I mentioned. It's people of working age. And then, of course, you've got the attendance allowance. That's the claim that you would make if you were over pension age. Now, the problem with all these forms, Alan, they are very, very long, 40 plus pages in each of these forms. They're difficult to fill out. They take a long time. It does put people off. And even if you do manage them, it's difficult to do them well. But the system itself and the processes can be very, very off-putting and difficult.
There's also lots of changes, Dominic. I'm thinking primarily of things like universal credit, which a lot of people can be entitled to if they're working, if they're not working. But there seems to be a lot of facets to that as well. Is that another sort of complication that perhaps are putting people off?
It can be a difficult process. It can be particularly difficult for people who can't access the system online. You have to use a telephone process to deal with it. It is complex and it is difficult. I think one thing you could say for universal credit and for all the disability benefits that we're talking about today, they all require quite a degree of focus and input and patience. And that's one of the key reasons why, we tend to see a lot of people not claiming what they could claim.
a lot of benefits that we've spoken about in the past, Dominic, can be classed as gateway as well, which can help with other entitlements.
They absolutely can. I mean, under the current system, or the current stroke slightly older system of legacy benefits, if you get a disability benefit, you will then get an increased entitlement to your legacy benefit. Potentially, you can get extra premiums. The same applies to some extent to universal credit as well. If you have, for example, you can get a disabled child element if you have a child who's on a disability benefit. If you have an adult who's on a disability benefit and you're in a couple, the partner could possibly claim the carer element for looking after them, which is also part of the universal credit system. So yes, there are gateways. There are also other, you know, health passports, things like prescriptions, help with health costs and so on. So there are a whole host of different ways that it can be helpful to get your disability benefit. Also worth pointing out, I should mention this as well, when you make those claims, and this applies to quite a lot, to most of these benefits, when you make a claim and you get refused, which many people do if they haven't perhaps managed to get the message across about their condition, or if they haven't been adjudicated on fairly, which does happen quite frequently, unfortunately, you can then challenge. And just looking at personal independence payment alone, I think in the last two quarters of last year, 68% of claims that were challenged then went on to be awarded. So we would always encourage people, if they've made a claim for a disability benefit, whichever one it is, and they haven't had any joy, they should definitely check out whether or not they should be challenging that decision.
So thanks to this research, Dominic, we know what perhaps the problems are. We know perhaps that the people who are not applying. How do you guys in RNIB's Legal Rights Service and the charity as a whole, how do you go about changing people's minds, encouraging them to make those applications?
I think the first thing is just to get the message out that it's well worth checking out whether or not you may have an entitlement. We would encourage them to get in touch with RNIB. We can look at whether or not they have a claim, a potential for a claim. We can give them advice on it. We can give them help on making that claim. And we can also give them help on challenging a decision if it doesn't go their way.
How do they get that assistance?
The best thing to do, Alan, is for people to call our helpline on 0303 123 9999. They will have a chat with somebody who will talk them through the processes. They will then refer them on where necessary to get extra help with looking at the potential for a claim and with helping with getting the claim process started. We have fact sheets, we have toolkits, we have different things that can help people, that can guide people through the difficulties, the kinds of questions they might be asked and the kinds of answers that they need to give. That's kind of the way forward. I think once people get their claims in, it's a patient process is required, because it does take a bit of time often. But once they've got their decision, hopefully they've had a good decision. If not, we can help them challenge it. And also, we can do an overall benefit calculation. So we can look at the bigger picture, as you mentioned before, about any passports to other things. We can look at the bigger picture and see if there are any other means-tested benefits that might also be applicable.
And we certainly hope people will do. Nothing to lose. All you have to do is make that phone call. And who knows, you may find that you are entitled to some of these payments, which, as we said, cost of living crisis, absolutely crucial at the moment. Dominic, no doubt we'll be back with you again soon to talk about more around entitlements and cost of living support as well. But for the moment, thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Alan. Just to mention, people will hear more of this because there'll be press coverage about this. ITV are doing a programme on it. So, yeah, the message is out there. Please do check out whether or not you can get a disability benefit. Get in touch with our helpline and we can have a look at it.